Okay, this morning we'll be in Acts chapter 11. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, You wentest in unto men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order to them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts in the earth, or of the earth, and of wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What has God has cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said to him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell you words whereby you and all your house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance to life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution and arose that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came had seen the grace of God, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now we go back to the first verse and look at it again. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, the word here for word is the word logos, not the word rhema, just a regular word. But this is the spiritual word of God, the logos of God. Every time Jesus was called the word of God, it's the word logos, speaking of the spiritual word. It was the truth of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, You went in to men that were uncircumcised and did eat with them. And that's religion today. When I first started in church, don't you know they told me, You're not supposed to hang out with sinful people. How am I going? And you know what I told them? How am I going to get away from myself? Because you keep telling me I'm a sinner. How can I not hang out with myself? stupid things, stupid statements that come from religion. And religion here is making a very stupid statement and condemning Peter for going to where God told him to go. We should not be listening to what people say, but we should be listening to what God says. Would that make sense to you? So religion will tell you to listen to what they say, and God says listen to him. Okay, verse 4. But Peter not rehearsed the matter, but he began to expound it by order to them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, and Joppa means beautiful, the beautiful city, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. And a certain vessel descended, and it, as it had been a great sheet let down from the sky by four corners, and it came to me. To which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, or reptiles, and fowls of the sky. And I heard a voice saying to me, Stand up, Peter, and eat. But I said, By no means, Lord, because nothing common or unclean has at any time entered in my mouth. You know what that is right there? You know what Peter just did right there? He had a holier-than-thou attitude. He had a religious attitude. Oh, I've never done anything wrong. God said, What I've said is clean. Don't you call it common. And see, today there are still people that believe that you have to eat by the Jewish laws of the Old Testament, by the food laws. Well, that's not so now. Things have changed. Okay? You can eat anything you want. But remember, you'll reap what you sow. If I eat too much of a certain thing, it can be harmful to me. See? If I want to eat a lot of sodium, I can have high blood pressure, or eat too much sweets, I can have diabetes, drink too much alcohol, I can have cirrhosis of the liver. I can do anything I want, but my physical body will pay the price for it. I will be abusing my body. Okay? He wasn't focusing toward natural, but I'm saying that is also included in that. Okay? He's really talking about people, but we'll get to that in a second. But the voice responded to me a second time, not again, but a second time from the sky. What God has cleansed, consider it not common. Whatever God has cleansed, don't consider it common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into the sky. Now, it wasn't talking literally about food. Yes, it's included in it. But he was talking about people. Why was it done three times? Why do you think God did it three times? God could have said it once, and that was the truth, wasn't it? Well, everything's established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But he said all were drawn back. All these animals, every creature that he had on the earth was in this cloth. We could say he couldn't get that many animals in there. We could, couldn't we, if we want to look literal. But he's saying all's included. He said once he showed this all three times, I can see the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles realms. All the realms of all the people on the earth, reconciliation. And where did they go back to? In this vision, they all were lifted back up into the sky or the spirit realm. See, so who's going to be left out?
None.
And behold, immediately there were three men already come to the house where I was sent from Caesarea, and Caesarea is the severed place, to me. And the Spirit spoke to me, go over with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Now you notice when he sent the men, there was three, but there were six came back. Just something I noticed. There's a reason for it, I'm sure. There was three, there's six now. It's human. It's human to add to everything that God does. But six went. Okay, it's humanity going with him. And he didn't show us anything. He told us how he had seen a messenger in his house. See, this angel is a messenger from God, which stood and said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell you words whereby you and part of your house may be saved. How much of his house is going to be saved? It's all of it. Now, when it says saved, it's the word sozo. spelled S-O-Z-O. It's number 4982 in your Strong's Concordance in the dictionary. And it means delivered. See, Jesus died to save the whole world, true or false? Okay, then why do I need to do anything to be saved again? It just doesn't make sense. But what I do need, once He has saved me, I need to be delivered from something. Not a devil, not a demon. What do I need to be delivered from? Myself, my own carnal thinking. And that's the process we are in this life. See, I need to be delivered. Jesus even said Himself, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be," King James says, "saved," same word, he needs to be delivered. If I endure to the end, what will my process be? I'd be delivered from myself. Yeah, I'll be deleted. I'll be deleted. Okay. I'll be deleted. But I will be delivered from my self-thinking, my self-centered thinking. And I'll be thinking in the mind of Christ if I endure to the end. Does that mean go halfway and fall on my face? I have to endure to the end. And it's a warfare. That word endure, even there in Matthew, is a military term of enduring the assault, you know, of the life. We have, how many people going through this thing don't think it's like a war? It's a constant battle fighting with your mind, always wrestling with you. And it's all in here. It's all in that head. I heard someone quote something yesterday. I was watching a golf, and an old golfer said something a long time ago. I can't remember his name, but they quoted him yesterday in the Masters play. And they said, the whole course is played in 5 inches. It's only 5 inches wide between your ears. That was a man that knew something. You know, he knew something. It's all, everything's about right here. You know, anything you do is accomplished inside. If you can't accomplish it in there, do you think you can accomplish it in the world? In the physical, natural, external?
The world don't care.
Well, I mean, no matter what you're doing, even worldly things, if you can't accomplish it in here, you can't accomplish it in the external. I used to fish in competition, and if I couldn't get my mind right, I couldn't fish. I couldn't buy a fish. I couldn't take money and bought a fish from someplace because my mind wouldn't. I got angry one tournament. A man made me real mad one night. He falsely accused me of something, and I was physically at the point then. I'd already had my back injured. I couldn't do anything about it. Otherwise, we'd have had a big tussle right there. And it was in front of a bunch of people that I knew, and he embarrassed me and made me very angry. This was before I was serving God in any way. And that whole night, I sat up and sharpened hooks in the motel room. And I about wore out all my hooks. I mean, I sharpened them too much, probably. You know, I was so angry, I was just filing hooks. I didn't sleep all night. And when a gentleman that was sharing the room with me, he woke up the next morning, I was still sitting there filing hooks. I'd sharpened all mine, all his, and I was hunting for more, you know. And he said, "Didn't you go to bed?" And I said, "No, I'm mad." And he said, "I believe you. You're still awake." And when we went out to fish that day, I made a statement. And it was very true. I said, "I'm not going to catch any fish today. I know where they're at. I know what it takes to catch them. But I cannot catch a fish today." I knew my mind was not right. And I said, "What I'll do is I'll show you where they're at and let you catch them." And I never even had the first bump all day long. 8 hours I fished. And that man won the tournament. I said, "Right there they are. Right there. Right there." I could point them out to him. Show him where they're at. And because I'd been catching them for 2 weeks there. And I showed him every place, and he caught fish and just run away from everybody. And they were mine. I could have caught them. I showed them to him, but it didn't make any difference. I knew my mind was not right. That's what I'm saying. I learned by experience that my mind's got to be right, and anything I do, it's got to be done in here first. I got to come to peace inside, and that's what God wants us to understand. Okay? And I let verse 11, right? Did I go? No, I get there. 15. Okay. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit did not fall. That's King James language. It seized them. The word there is for seized. He seized them as at the beginning, as us on the, at the beginning. Do you think it was just like somebody just dumped a bucket out over your head and run all over you? No, God came and possessed us. He came and seized upon us. And literally, I don't think it was something like people think that receiving the baptism of the Spirit is something external coming internal. And I don't see it that way at all. The Spirit of God's in us from the very conception of our life. And I see it as something internal flowing external. Just like the gift of tongues. There's no tongues came into me, but how they come, they came out of me. You see what I'm saying? It's an external flowing, not an internal flowing. The church world's just not paying attention to what they're saying and doing. It doesn't make sense. So anyway, the Holy Spirit sees them. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptizes with water, but you shall be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Okay? You shall be immersed into the Holy Spirit. Not with, but in the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something. Look at me. If I am immersed into something, what are you going to see? If I'm immersed into Christ, what do you see first? If I'm immersed into the Holy Spirit, what do you see first? You see the nature of the Spirit. You don't see me anymore. You hear what I'm saying? So as you're immersed into the Spirit, and when they're saying about the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within you, who are they looking at? You. They're still seeing you. If truly the Spirit of God, if I am immersed in the Spirit, then they don't see me anymore. You see the nature of the Spirit of God. You see the difference in that? If I say Christ is in me, so what? He's in the whole world. He's in the whole universe, in all the people. But when I say I'm in Christ, do you see any difference? You don't see me. You see the nature of Christ in my life. I'm not the one out in front. He's the one in front. You hear what I'm saying? It's about Christ. It's not about us. Okay. Verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us, who believed not on, but into. Into. What's the difference? If I can believe there is a man called Jesus, do you think that would change anything? But if I believe into, if I believe into the same image and the same thinking process as he is, which is Christ, which is the mind of Christ, do you see the change now? I believe into him. I become him. Aren't we one with him? Wasn't his prayer, his Lord, make them one with me as I am one with you? John 17. So he said, make them think like me so we have the same nature and character. I don't mean we all think every word the same, but the nature and character of Christ is what we're talking about. So I think like he would think. Whenever someone was killing him, what did he say? Get even? He said, Father, forgive them. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. See? You got to realize the nature he's talking about here, the character of the person. Okay. And where to leave off? Oh, believed into the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I? Not what, but who was I that I could prevent or deny God? That's what it should say. Who am I that I should prevent or deny God? Well, if we would think for just a second, Peter makes a very wise statement here, but if we would take this statement and apply it in our lives, who am I to question what God is doing in Ed's life? Hello? Who am I to question what's in Lisa's life? Serious. Who am I to judge what's in your life, Bethany? See, if everybody would live by this standard, and this is the standard of the thinking of Christ, if we don't mess with other people, God knows what he's doing. See, we're all trying to help God. He don't need volunteers. He wants good servants. Good servants don't volunteer. They just sit and wait for the master's command, and they respond to whatever he says to do. He didn't tell us to go out and judge everybody, did he? Then leave them alone. And Peter made a very wise statement when he said it. Who am I that I could prevent or deny what God wants? If he wants the Gentiles, the Gentiles are coming in. And he was talking to religious folk, and you know that don't make them happy, even though they might put on a show for a while. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles, what? Given, literally it's the word given, a new mind. Repentance. What's repentance mean? Change the way you think. So if you change the way you think, guess what? You've got a new mind. So he's given you repentance or a new way to think, And that new way of thinking will do what? What's the last part of that verse? It'll give you life. When you change the way you think from the natural thinking unto His thinking, it's a new life. It's His life. It's the life of God. Jesus' thinking process, or His mind, what they call the mind of Christ, was also nothing more than the mind of the Father. Because Him and the Father were one, weren't they? So guess what? It's the same mind. We have the same mind. Paul says we have that mind also. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad because of the persecution or the pressure that arose about Stephen being stoned, traveled as far as Phoenice. Phoenice is a palm tree. That's, you know, that can be a lot of things. There's a lot of shade under them palm trees and comfort. And Cyprus, that represents love or a blossom. And Antioch, which is driven against, preaching the word or the logos to no one but to the Jews only. You know what the church has done for many, many years? They preach to the Jews only. They don't preach it to the world. They say, them people don't care about nothing. Well, how do you know if you never tell them? See, that's thinking for somebody else. You don't need to think for somebody else. You need to think for yourself, don't you? And the church world don't even think for themselves.
They prejudge
them as burning in hell anyway, so don't worry about it. But again, that's where God's got them. So, in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was not with them, but the word is meta, in the midst of them. His works, the hand represents works. The works of the Lord was within them, and a great number believed and did what? Beg pardon? Well, but if you look at the language, you know what it really says? Return. Hello. Why is re on there? We were with the Lord in the beginning. We came from Him, so we're returning to Him. Just a little thing that they just happened to leave out, the little re on the first of it, you know? Okay? Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, which is the son of Rest, that he should go as far as Antioch, as being driven against. So go as far as you can against the opposition, you know. You go till the opposition stops you. You go as far as you can. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, oh my Lord, what does that tell us? He saw the grace of God. Someone tell me about that. He saw the grace. Now, I know, Lois, you know the definition of grace, right? Does anyone else know the definition of grace? What the word grace means? It's not God's riches at Christ's expense, like the little acrostic says, no. But it's this. It's a divine, if you look in the language of the Greek language, it says a divine influence, that's God's influence in the heart of man, and a reflection of that influence into his lifestyle. So if I have grace, you should be able to do what? See it. So he saw the grace of God. He saw people changed again by the thinking process. When God imputed things into their mind and showed them truth, gave them examples and witnesses of this truth in their life, to where they're changing the thinking process. So really you could again say they repented. They changed the way they thought. And people could see it. And when Barnabas saw this, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should what? Cleave or adhere or persevere to the Lord. They should cling to the Lord. Persevere in whatever He wants you to do. Do you think Stephen liked the idea of what happened to him? It's what he called him to do. You think Paul liked the persecutions he went through? Do you think all the ones that were beheaded and chopped up and sawn in two like Isaiah, would you think they liked it? But they persevered in whatever God gave them to do. And that's what we're to do, the same thing. To persevere in whatever He calls us to do. Verse 24. And the reason that he exhorted them, he saw this grace of God, and he exhorted them that with the purpose of heart or thinking process of the mind, they should adhere or persevere to the Lord. He did this, why? Verse 24. Because he was a good man, and I'll just say God man, and full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and of faith, and many people were added to the Lord because of what he did. Because he encouraged them and exhorted them to go ahead and continue and to persevere in all the things that come against them. See, so many people come to the church realm and they get happy. They say, well, I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell now. And the first time that something comes against them or the first time they slip and make a little mistake, they're ostracized from the body of Christ. And they're accused. They're condemned. They're given low self-esteem by the church by saying, oh, you're a bad person. You got to go out and do something, make yourself right. What did he die for? He died to make everybody in right standing. Read Romans 5. He died, he justified us through his death. Okay? And the people were added to the Lord because of him doing the things that God wanted him to do. And then he departed, Barnabas and Tarsus. To Tarsus to seek Saul. Okay? And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, right? To the place of being pushed against, driven against. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now, he didn't say assembled themselves in the church. What did he say? So, what is the church? Is it a building or is it people? It's people. And today people say, oh, I go to this church. Well, no, you don't. You go to that building. Church is a people, okay? And taught many people, and the disciples were first called Christians where? In Antioch, okay? Now, but here's the thing. It doesn't say they're Christians here. Huh? Well, here's what it says. It literally says they were followers of Christ. They were first called followers of Christ, not Christians. And it was even a mocking terminology at that. They were mocking them and saying, little Christ, you know, you're trying to be just like that guy, you know. And it was a mocking terminology is what it started out as. But it does need, the word Christian is something the English language changed that follower of Christ and called them Christians. So where does the church get the word Christian from? They have no idea. They haven't got a clue. So you could call them anything. I can't even think of a ridiculous name any more than that one. But they could just, you could call them anything, and they would take it and run with it. There's people that I'm trying to think of the name of a church that they named, honey, the one out there, Lucasville Fields. Yeah, okay, the Canaan. I heard a church called Canaan Baptist Church or something like that. I've seen it on a lot of different churches, Canaan Land or whatever like that. Do you know what Canaan represents? It represents, if you look in the language, it says people of low degree. That's something you want to brag about, isn't it? See, they have no idea what these names mean. They got all these names on the churches. They just get them out of the Bible. They have no idea what it means. And they just say, oh, it's a Bible name. But they don't realize if it's a positive thing or a negative thing. Canaan was a negative thing. The Canaanites were bad people. Come on. God took them out of the land, didn't he? So he could give the land to us. Canaanites represented carnality. Everybody thought it was bad, but it wasn't a bad thing. Everybody looked at the shadow of the Almighty as being a terrible thing. Ooh, that sounds spooky. Read the Psalms. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, it's a biblical name, and there's nothing wrong with it. But still, people looked at it as something spooky and weird, you know, because they don't understand. Little intelligence, a little bit of information can make people really change their thinking. Okay, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and his name is Fathers of Joy. And he indicated through the Spirit that there should be a great famine throughout all where? Well, the word word world here literally represents the Roman Empire. Through the whole Roman Empire, there was going to be a great famine, which came to pass in the days of what? Claudius Caesar. You know what the word Claudius means? Lame. It means lame. Okay? So this lame Caesar, and maybe he was in a, he had a bad leg or something, who knows? Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. As they had ability, every man determined what he gave. No one told you what to do. Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. End of that chapter. Of course, we know this chapter didn't end. It goes right on through. This is a letter, but we're breaking it up for that point, and we'll stop there for the day. How's that?